The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, that was good, young people. Thank you so much. Now, they're going to give testimony tonight about what God did in their heart during youth camp, and so please be here tonight to hear them testify. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and verse 44, and we'll look at that in just a minute. I do want to say, before we dive into it, please pray for Brother Jonathan. He is having hemorrhages behind his eye, and it's bleeding, and that's how come he had a hard time reading the announcements, and so he's going to see a specialist on Monday, and they're going to try and give him shots in the eye to be able to stop the bleeding, and so that's going to be quite painful. So you pray for him, if you will, and the doctor instructed him, if he doesn't take care of it quickly, he could lose the eyesight in that one eye. And so I appreciate you praying for him, and of course, he's our oldest son. We love him very deeply. We want to make sure that he's cared for, and I know he would appreciate your prayers. I can't imagine getting shots in the eye. I just don't think that that's going to be a pleasurable thing. And so you pray for him. Pray for his wife, too, because she'll probably faint at least five times during the process. And so Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, the Bible says, "Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And I'd like to speak this morning on get right before the flight. Now, I'm going to tell you, if a person does not receive Jesus Christ, and we're talking about the rapture this morning, they will not go. They will not go. Make no bones about it. It's not happening. Many times when I go out soul winning, and I'll spend many, many hours out knocking doors during the week and talking to people about Christ and going up and down the streets of all over different places and different neighborhoods, and I talk to people about the Lord and about receiving Christ as their Savior. Oftentimes, more than not, I talk about, of course, over in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 13 and 14, where the Bible says, "Then death and hell were cast in the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." And oftentimes I'll use that book of life as showing somebody that is your God's reservation book. And if your name is not written in a book of life, you are not going. And I equate it to getting on an airplane and having a ticket. If you show up at the airport and you don't have a ticket, first off, they're not letting you in. Second off, your name's not recorded anywhere that you purchased a ticket because you didn't do it. And third off, you're not getting on that plane. And so it's very important that you have your name written in God's reservation book. Now, can I tell you, the very next thing on God's prophetic timetable for the believer is the rapture. We understand that when we talk about the second coming, that really it's in two parts. Here the disciples in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and verse 3, the disciples are coming to the Lord, and they're basically inquiring about the Lord when this world is going to come to an end. Then in verses 4 through 35, you'll see that our Lord is telling them things that need to transpire before those last days take place. Then in verses 36 through 51, you'll see that Jesus now is pleading for men to come, if you would please, to the Savior before these events take place. On God's prophetic timetable, the very next thing is going to be what we call the catching away. It's going to be that which is the collecting of the saints. It's going to be the rapture. Oh, there's many different beliefs that have come into play over the years as people give their own hypothesis or own, if you would please, evaluation of what's going to take place during that day of the rapture. I can tell you for sure that those of us that are truly saved will be gone. We will be ushered out. At the very same time that the rapture takes place, as we're ushered into the presence of God, we'll be ushered into a very particular place. And of course, it's the place of the supper, if you would please, the judgment seat of Christ. And there will be 3.5 years of a time, I believe, of festivity, a time, if you would please, of eating and enjoying fellowship with one another. And of course, the last 3.5 years in heaven is going to be a time of reward. On earth, it's going to be different. On earth, the first 3.5 years of that which is the tribulation period, when that which is the Antichrist will be revealed. You say, "Preacher, do you believe the Antichrist exists today?" I cannot tell you. I can speculate. but I cannot tell you. I cannot give you a Bible verse to say, yes, he does. However, I can tell you this, and I know it for sure. At the very second that the rapture takes place, the tribulation will begin. And then the next, it's 3.5 years, and it goes into the next 3.5 years after that, totality of 7. And you'll see that the first 3.5 years is called tribulation. And the Bible notes this, that the next 3.5 years of that is called great tribulation. At the time of the rapture, the Antichrist will be revealed. Whether he's alive today is up to you to decide. But I can tell you that he will be revealed at the time of the rapture. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be great tribulation. You and I are going to be in heaven, those of us that are saved. By the way, that's the only ones that go to heaven. A person says, well, preacher, I believe that I am saved. Are you sure about that? The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Jesus is speaking in John 14, verse 6. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So we understand the clarity of the scriptures whereby you do not get to heaven because you're trusting ways. No, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's not two ways to heaven, dear friend. There's not three ways or four ways or five ways to heaven. There's only one. And the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the way. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Now, you either have him or you don't. You either have him or you don't. The Bible says that if you have him, you have everlasting life. If you don't have him, you don't have everlasting life. Now, I don't know about you. I'm so glad that there are several young people that got saved at camp. I'm so glad they got it settled. I'm so glad that to be absent from the body, according to the scriptures, is to be present with the Lord. I'm glad that there was a day when I bowed my heart as an 18-year-old boy back in 1979. I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. When I did that, the Bible teaches that now if I was going to be a one that would die, I would take my last breath here, but dear friend, my next breath would be in heaven. And so, are you that sure? Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? If the rapture did take place at the very split second, at the splitting of maybe a verb or a noun that I'm saying, I mean, just that quick, do you know for sure that you'd be in heaven? Well, let's study it. Let's see what takes place, if you will, about the rapture. What is it that is going to take place that's going to encompass this entire earth at the day of the rapture? Let me give you a couple of things according to the Bible. Statement number one, it will be sudden. It will be sudden. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, the Bible says this, behold, he says, I show you a mystery. He says that we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Now, I saw that in a nursery one day and said that they're practicing the Bible where they said in the nursery a little sign that says, we shall be changed. They're talking about changing the baby's diapers. Now, that's not what this is talking about. The Bible says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, it says, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ, it says, or listen to it now, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and it says, we shall be changed. Now, we understand this, the twinkling of an eye. Somebody said that is 1/50th of a second. The twinkling of an eye, 1/50th of a second. Somebody said this, dealing with the computer industry, that a nanosecond is 1/1,000,000th. It is 1/1,000,000th of a second. Now, that's pretty quick. Now, can I tell you, listen, we understand this. We understand it's going to be sudden. It's not going to be that all of a sudden there's going to be somebody coming around and telling you the rapture is coming. You need to get ready right now because it's going to take place very, very quickly. Matter of fact, within the next 5 minutes, you need to get ready. No, no, no. You understand this. That's what preachers are doing today. You understand this. That's what soul winners are doing today. You understand this. That's what Christians are doing today. What are we doing? We're going around and we're sounding the trumpet. Yes, we are. We're telling you that it is important to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That's why we go to the mission field. That's why we go out soul winning. That's why we run 9 buses back here. That's why we support missionaries around the world. Why? Because we believe that His return is imminent. We believe that He could return at any second. We understand that it could be sudden. It could be in the middle of this sermon. Yes, it could. It could be during the invitation time. It could be this afternoon sometime. It could be as you're laying down, getting ready to take your Baptist nap this afternoon. It could be when you board a plane and you get ready to fly out, and all of a sudden it takes place. It could be in the middle of eating your sandwich this afternoon. It could be in the middle of your sleeping tonight. The rapture could take place at any second, and we are supposed to be ready. Can I ask you something? Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you know if the rapture takes place that you would be ushered out of here, caught up together with the Lord in the air? Are you ready? You say, but preacher, I'm not ready. May I suggest something to you this morning? You get ready. Amen. You receive Jesus Christ as Savior. You say, is it that easy, preacher? Oh, yes, it is. He that hath the Son, I'll repeat it over and over again. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. I'm so glad July 24th, 1979, 8:35 at night, when a teenage boy, age 16, David Lee, came by and helped me to be able to understand the gospel. And as an 18-year-old boy, I bowed my heart. I received Jesus Christ as Savior. Can I tell you, if the rapture takes place right now, this is one preacher that's going to be gone. Amen. What about you? What about your mom? What about your dad? What about your brother? What about your sister? What about your aunt? What about your uncle? What about your grandparent? What about those that work for you? What about those that you work for? What about that friend that you call so dear? What about those that you walk down the street with? What about those that you shop with? What about those that check you out at the supermarket? What about those that you come across at the gas station? What about those, if you will, that you play with and have fun playing games or something like that? What about those that you come up? Hey, I'm saying this, that you and I have a God-given mandate. You and I have a God-given responsibility to help others come to know Christ as Savior and to help them to understand their need of receiving Jesus Christ. Why? Because the rapture will be sudden. Statement number one. Statement number two, it will be solemn. I'm talking about it's going to be something that is sobering, if you will. The Bible says over Luke chapter 17, verse 34, the Bible says, I tell you that that night, it says, there shall be two men in one bed. Now, can you imagine? They might be at a conference someplace, a bunch of preachers, if you will. And they're saying, let's save a little bit of money. Let's get one room and we all share the room together. It might be that they're on a camping trip and it got rained out. And so here's a bunch of men that go into a room. And all of a sudden, now the rapture takes place, and one is taken and the other one is left behind. The Bible says in verse 35, Luke chapter 17, two women shall be grinding together. Now, they're not grinding each other up. They're not in a fight. They're out there working together. They're not gnawing on each other or something like that. The Bible says, and one shall be taken, the other shall, the other left. The Bible says in verse 36, two men in the field, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Now, this is something that's going to be a sobering thing. I mean, you think about it. All of a sudden now, here you are, and you're a believer, if you will, and you're taken up, but that person that is in the taxi with you, that person that's in the field with you, that person that's working beside you, that person that's eating a salad across from you, that person, if you will, that's reading a book around you, all of a sudden the rapture takes place, and you're taken up, but they're left behind. What in the world do you think they're going to be thinking? I mean, what do you think is going to cross their mind? They're going to wonder what in the world took place. Now, can I tell you, I believe on that particular day that the church houses will be filled. I believe that there will be people from all over the country that's running to the church houses to say, what happened? What happened? I believe that moms and dads that go to church is going to have little ones running to the church, and they're going to be looking for their moms and dads, wondering, what happened? What happened? Seeking for answers. Now, can I tell you, it's going to be a sobering time. It's going to be a sobering time. It's going to be teenagers in the youth department, and some are saved and some are not. It's going to be deacons on a deacon board, and some are saved and some are not. It's going to be some that sing in a choir, and some are saved and some are not. It's going to be those that are in your own household. Yes, your own household, and some are saved and some are not. It's going to be those, if you will, that are at your workplace. Oh, yes, those that are riding in your same vehicle. Oh, yes, those that are riding in your same truck. Oh, yes, it will. It'll be those that visit you that are relatives. Some are taken and some are not. It's not dependent upon how good they are, and it's not dependent upon what type of deeds they do. It's are they saved or are they not? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have they received the gift of eternal life? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't get to heaven because of works. Person says, well, I'm good to my neighbor. I thank God for that, but that doesn't count. Person says, but I'm a good cook. I thank God for that. Invite me over and I'll come eat it with you. But that doesn't count. Person says, well, I'm just so smart. I thank God for your smartness. I'd like to hang around you and learn some things. But that doesn't count. Oh, but preacher, I've got such a good personality. Oh, I thank God for your good personality. I really do. I hope it rubs off on me. I hope that I learn to tell jokes just like you. I hope I can learn to smile just like you. But that doesn't count. Oh, but preacher, my daddy's saved. I'm glad your daddy's saved. Oh, but preacher, my mama's saved. I'm glad your mama's saved. Oh, but preacher, my aunt's saved and my uncle's saved and my grandpa's saved and my grandma's saved. Oh, preacher, all my cousins are saved and all my nephews are saved and all my nieces are saved. Hey, thank God for that. That's not the question this morning. Are you saved? Amen. You know, I stand in line sometimes to get nervous at those airports. You know I got the right ticket. I know that. But I'm so afraid I'm going to lose it. And I have before, by the way. I'll put that thing in one of my pockets. I forget what pocket I put it in. All of a sudden, I go to reach down in there, and I can't find it. So, uh-oh. I remember we took, I do a lot of international preaching, too, and we were in a conference, and we were flying from one portion of the Philippines to another portion of the Philippines. One of the guys was traveling with me. He came up to me, and his face was just as pale as could be. I said, what's wrong? And I won't call his name. But I said, what's wrong? And he said this. He said, well, he said, you won't believe this. I said, I probably won't, but you ought to tell me just in case. He said, we're supposed to get on that plane right there. I said, yes, sir. He said, we're supposed to have a ticket to get on that plane right there. And I said, yes, sir. He said, my ticket's in my luggage, and my luggage is on that plane. I said, I think you're in a fix. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Listen, thank God, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. You know, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to lose everlasting life. But you say, preacher, you don't understand. I've been bad, but God forgives even, yes, his bad children. Come on. Jonathan, stand up. I'll get my one-eyed son to stand up. Now, he's 30 years old, and he don't live in my house anymore. And Mama, thanks God for that. Amen. Can you imagine what a 30-year-old boy would eat? And I thank God for that, too. And that's how come I'm growing in the Lord. But now, wait a minute. Our oldest son here. But let's say he's not my oldest son. Let's say he's 16 again. And, oh, thank the Lord he's not. But 16 again. And then all of a sudden, I tell him to do something, and he says no. He crosses his arms. He doesn't believe his Bible right now. And God bless you. And he crosses his arms, and he shakes his head ever so furiously, and he gets that mean look on his face with his one eye, and just mean as a hound dog, you know? And now, wait a minute. That doesn't change the fact he's my son. He's still my son. Now, what that's going to hurt, that's going to hurt our fellowship. It's not going to hurt our relationship. Now, I may have to discipline him, say, go to your room. I'll deal with you later. And so he goes to the room, and then I bring him out, and I deal with him later. But now, listen to me, that hurts my fellowship. Or should I say that hurts his fellowship with me, you see? But it doesn't hurt his relationship. See, once he's my son, if he does good, he's still my son. If he does bad, he's still my son. You understand that? See? All right, now watch this. Thank you. Be seated. And so he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Now, can I tell you this? I'm so glad. Boy, if the rapture takes place, woo, I'm out of here. I mean, if the rapture takes place, dear friend, I'm leaving. Now, I hope you're coming with me. All right? It is a sobering time. People are going to be walking around, running around, hysterically, no doubt, thinking about where did they go? Where did they go? Where did they go? Where is mama and where is daddy and where's brother and where's sister and where's aunt and uncle and grandpa and grandma and cousin and nephew and niece and where's my friend and where's those people that worked for me and where's those people that I worked for and where's that person I saw just the other day? And where are they at? It's going to be a sobering thing. I'm saying when the rapture takes place, it's going to be sudden. When the rapture takes place, it's going to be sobering. When the rapture takes place, it's going to be shocking. Shocking. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many shall say, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. The Bible says, many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? The Bible says, and have cast out devils. The Bible says, listen to it now. And it says, and in thy name, it says, done many wondrous works. You know, there's people that are religious that are not going to go in the rapture. Can I submit to you this morning there's going to be preachers? Yes, preachers of Baptist churches. That's not going to go in the rapture. Because it has nothing to do with your practice of religion. Has everything to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ. There's people today, they're in churches all over the Dallas metro area, that if the rapture was to occur within the next few seconds, they'll be left behind. Why? Well, it's not because they're bad people. It's because they're not saved people. It's because they've never received Christ as their Savior. I'm saying it is going to be shocking. Statement number next, it is going to be satisfying. It's going to be satisfying. Look at it. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Don't you love your Bible? Amen. Oh, boy, I got two amens. I said, don't you love your Bible?
Amen.
Oh, don't you believe your Bible?
Amen.
Aren't you glad God gave you a Bible?
Amen.
Now watch, here's what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says that it would not have you ignorant. Now, who's he saying? I don't want you to be ignorant. He said, brethren. Saved people, see? He said, I would not have you ignorant. He says, concerning, it says, them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. He said, wait a minute, those that are sorrowing that have no hope, we understand that. But you see, those that are, if you would please, saved, you ought not to sorrow over those. Why? You're going to see them again. You're going to see them again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. The Bible says, and if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, it says, God will bring with him. Now watch this. The Bible says in verse 15, the Bible says, for this I say unto you the word of the Lord. It says, which alive remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So the Bible is teaching here that those that are alive at the time of the rapture will be taken up just like that. And those, if you would please, that have already died, that those bodies, if you would please, is going to be reunited here. And he says he gives us these things so that he can comfort us. Look at verse 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says, wherefore, it says, comfort one another with these words. He said, look, he said, you can be comforted. It's going to be satisfied. You know, in heaven, my dear mother's in heaven. My daddy's in heaven. My older brother's in heaven. And when they died, mom and daddy, they died of cancer, you know. My older brother died of cancer. And can I tell you, they were chronic smokers from early age. And that's what took their life, was that cancer, because of those cigarette sticks that they put in their mouth and sucked them on all those days. And it just helped to take them out early. But can I tell you, you listen to me, one day I'll see them again. But you know, last time I saw Mama, she was all crinkled up. I mean, I found a picture of Mama just recently. Beautiful, beautiful lady. Beautiful lady. When I was about 5 years of age or so, beautiful lady. But can I tell you, when she went home to be with the Lord, that cancer had just done its dirty work all over her. And boy, can I tell you, she was just all pruned up. Daddy was a man's man. Oh, but Daddy, when Daddy died, he was all pruned up. I went to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, from the area of which my family did live, in the area of Maryland in Pennsylvania. And we flew up there about 2 years ago, my wife and I, and we saw my brother laying in state, all pruned up. But can I tell you, when I see him in heaven, they're not going to be pruned up anymore. And Mama won't have those old thick glasses on anymore. Daddy's not going to walk all bent over anymore. You see, they're going to have that glorified body. It's going to be satisfying. My dear mother, she would often say to Michael, she says, time to go to bed. That's when I was a little boy. Time to go to bed, Michael. Give me my kiss. I'd say, yes, ma'am. I'd go over. She never wanted a kiss here. Never, not one time. Never, not one time did she want a kiss right here. She always wanted it right there. Right there. That's where she wanted it. That was her special spot. Right there. I remember when Mama got cancer. I got to see her a couple of times. And I'd say, how you doing? First thing she would tell me, she'd say, where's my kiss? Where's my kiss? And I'd go over. I'd pretend I was going to kiss her right there. And she said, uh-uh, don't you do it. I pretend I'd kiss her right there. She said, nope. She said, you know where I want it. And she wanted it right there. Now, that's who Mama was. Now, Daddy was not much of a kisser. I mean, he just wasn't. I mean, he was just a man's man. And, you know, my daddy's one of these fellas. Stand up. My daddy's one of these fellas. Thank you. And my daddy's one of these fellas. If you went up and you tried to shake a limp hand, no. He'd smack you. He would smack you across the head. He'd say, give me a man's handshake. And he'd say, you come in just like someone. You grab that thing and force that thing in there. And you shake that hand right there. You know, he said, we're men and we walk like men. By the way, that needs to be taught in our society today. But he said, we walk like men and we talk like men. We don't wiggle when we walk. Just for the record, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Just trying to help you out. You say, preacher, there's a lot of people listening over the social media. Well, I hope I helped them too. God bless you. Now, and wait, watch this. Thank you. Be seated. I'm saying this. I'm saying that there's a satisfaction there. Boy, my daddy, you know, he'd want that man's hug. He'd want that old-fashioned handshake. He'd hit us upside the arm, and he'd say, God bless you, son. I'm glad you're a man. You know, he wouldn't allow us to talk with a peaked voice way up high. He said, get it down deep, boy. Get it down deep. You know, and we'd walk around, Daddy, it's good to see you. Amen. Yeah. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that there's satisfaction there, see? You know, and so we'll be satisfied. We'll be satisfied because we get to see our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Woo! Amen. I often wonder. I look back at some of the old pictures I had. Before I got saved, I was all messed up. You know, I came from what you call the other side of the tracks. I look at the pictures of me now, and I see God's wonderful grace. I see all the things that God's done in my life and all the privileges that I've had. I've never had that before, but it's because of the good grace of God that I am who I am today. Now, can I tell you, I'm totally satisfied. I'll be satisfied when I see him. I'll be satisfied when I see my mama and when I see my daddy again. I'll be satisfied when I see my older brother or others that may pass on before me. I'll be satisfied. Now, can I give you one last thing? It'll also be a sad time. It'll also be a sad time. Look at it, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, who are kept by the power of God through faith on the salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. It's going to be a sad time. Oh, you say, preacher, how so? Well, I'm going to be sitting at that judgment seat of Christ for believers. I'm going to be looking around, and I'm going to miss somebody. It's going to be sad. It's going to be sad. I'll be looking around saying, well, hey, where's so-and-so? And I won't see them because they didn't go. They had the pretense. Now, by the way, you listen to me. Don't you ever be embarrassed. Don't ever, please, don't ever be. We're a soul-winning church. We're a caring church. We sacrifice every week of the world to run buses to those that are underprivileged. We have 8 services going on right now, not counting this one. And there's preaching young men in those services right now that's in our Bible college and others that are preaching the Word of God and helping others to come to understand their need of Christ. We sacrifice so much. We have bus workers that go out, 70 to 80 of them right now in other church services right now as counselors and as music leaders and singers and all sorts of stuff. And they're serving Christ this morning just as we are right here in this auditorium. And we sacrifice. We have a missions conference every year, and you and I, we dig down real deep because we're just not conscientious of people that's dying and needing Christ here in our area. But we're conscientious of those that are dying in the Philippines, yes, and Laos, and or maybe Vietnam, maybe someplace in Europe. But we're conscious of them. We take mission trips, yes, ourselves. We have missionaries that come out of our church, that the Paleoathagos going back to India. Oh, and so many other ones that are already here, the Westbrooks in Australia, the Jomhongs that's in Thailand. These are members of our church that they're in serving in foreign fields, and other ones that's going to go as well. Now, can I tell you, we have a heart for God. Man, we want to see little boys and girls saved.
Right,
we want to see boys and girls come to know Christ as Savior.
Right,
we want to see teenagers come to know Christ as Savior. I remember I was over in Cambodia, and I was witnessing, and I went into a leprosy camp, a colony. And as I went into the leper colony, I started witnessing different people, and there sat a lady on a bed, and she's got her toes all gone, and man, she's all crinkled up and whatnot. And I went over, and of course, they speak the Khmer language, and I had an interpreter with me, and we sat there on the edge of bed after bed after bed and telling them their need of Christ. And we watched them bow. I remember going over in Bangkok, Thailand, and we couldn't get in the schools, you know. The Buddhist priest shut us down, and they run the school system, and everything has to be okayed by them. And they shut us down, and I told Brother Jomhong, I said, boy, I didn't come over here to waste time. Now, we got to get crowds. Let's go to where there's crowds. And we went to the hospitals, and we couldn't find crowds, but we witnessed the best we could. He said, I know of a place nobody goes to. He said, it's an AIDS colony way up in the mountains. He said, probably 200 people there, they're dying of AIDS. He said, but it's a captive audience. I said, let's go. So we took our little convoy up into the mountainous area, and we went into a Buddhist temple. And you had to walk through a museum, and people that died of this tragic AIDS, they were, many of them, their bodies were housed in some type of oil, and you had to walk through this museum. It stunk so bad. And walked through that thing. And we went back and started visiting people that had AIDS. And I don't know how many, I think 30 or 40 of them bowed their hearts and received Christ as Savior. And I remember some of them, just bawling their eyes out and just thanking God. Nobody would have went to them. And we support missionaries that's able to go on a continual basis. Man, I'm so glad I'm a member of this church where we know what our missionaries are doing. You know, we don't support them because, you know, some religious group that doesn't even know who they are. You know, we send them the money, something like some convention or something. No. They come through here, and we get to see them, and we get to partner with them, and we get to help them, and we get to give them material, and we get to help train their soul winners that they're sending out to reach people in villages today that you and I will never see. I was in a village in Africa. And the witch doctor came out. I mean, they are witch doctors, you know. And he came, I was just playing with the guy. I mean, I didn't take him serious. But he came out and he goes, hoo oi 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 oi. Well, I started laughing at the guy. I guess you're not supposed to do that. And then he went, oi oi oi. So I thought I'd have some fun. So I went, wow, oh, oh, oh. He went, I guess my whoa was more powerful than his. I don't know. But there's people all over the world that need Christ. That soul winning yesterday had the privilege to lead two adults to Christ. Brother Lapp came with me in the morning time. We went to a trailer park. And we're knocking doors and talking to people about the Lord. Can I tell you, there's people all over the world that needs Christ. And like, can I tell you, we need to help them to be able to understand their need of receiving Christ. So if that rapture, I'm so glad I'm going. Woo!
Amen.
You know, he was in Alaska. Somebody paid for he and his wife to go to Alaska. If the rapture took place, can I tell you, he'd go into rapture. Now, we would beat him because, I mean, after all, we're from Texas. But anyway. But rapture took place, he'd be taken up off of that yacht thing. Now, can I tell you, be sure that you're saved.
Amen.
Be sure that you know you're going to go to heaven. Be sure that you're telling others about Christ. You know, can I tell you, you say, oh, I've lost my glow. I don't like Christianity the way I used to. If you start being a soul winner again, you will.
Yes.
You start carrying gospel tracts with you everywhere you go and you pass them out like water. Can I tell you what? It'll reinvigorate you. Because there's more to it than you. It is not about you. It's about him. And all we are here It's just a bunch of people that love God enough to be able to go out soul winning. And then after somebody gets saved, we try and train them for the glory of God, help them to walk with the Lord, help them to please the Lord. No big shots. We're just here trying to help people. That's all we're doing. Now, can I tell you, God can use you. God wants to use you. Let God use you to prepare others for that day that is called.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.